This is it. We're live. First episode, Between Realities. Welcome.
How's it going? I'm Skiva. This is Alex VR.
We are here to bring you a brand new podcast all about virtual reality. Skiva and I are friends living here in Arizona. I live in Phoenix. He lives in Mesa, about a 25-minute drive or so. Mm-hmm. And we have met through a mutual love of virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And long story short, we're now creating content together and having a lot of fun being super huge VR nerds.
I do love being a VR nerd. It's a good time.
And it's pretty crazy because we met through a Reddit group.
Yeah, so I started a group, a Reddit here for Arizona specifically, VR and AZ. And I did that just so I could find people really to game with. And I really want to start something where when larger scale multiplayer VR in the Quest starts to become bigger and more available, then I can rent out some big places and, you know, have some really cool, sick multiplayer events.
Multiplayer in VR for me is like number one. But yeah, so, you know, just to kind of like continue the overview here before we start diving into stuff, you know, we're going to be talking about VR as a whole for sure. We're going to talk about, you know, gaming because we're both huge gamers and we are, you know, I've been a gamer my whole life.
Pretty yes. Sure Skiva also has. Yeah, since Atari 2600, I've been completely obsessed with video games.
Steve's got a few years on me. I started with the NES, of course, but VR is definitely like the culmination of gaming for me. So I definitely have a gamer's perspective, you know, foremost when it comes to all of this stuff. And I would say that you probably do also.
Absolutely. I have spent a significant amount of my life playing games. I've kept every console I've ever acquired.
Nice.
And they're all currently hooked up and playable. And it's a shame because ever since VR, they're all collecting dust. You know, for real. I mean, I just, it's hard. It's really hard for me to go back to watching a game on a window on the screen.
Yeah.
When you're in the game and you're making decisions in the game and you're aiming down the iron sights of a gun and it's hard to go back. You know, even going back to a flat PS4 game almost feels like retro to me now.
Right. Seriously. And you're like a pretty huge tech dude as a whole too. Like, yeah, sure, you're a gamer, but like, you know more about tech than I do, like, by far. Like, you know, you're able to put together a lot of what you see right now, all this podcast, this spaceship. He built the whole thing by hand. He got us into orbit. You know, so he's definitely, like, helped make a lot of this stuff happen. So you've, like, you know, have, like, a pretty... You've had an eye on tech
for... Yeah. Forever, man. Forever. You know, when I was growing up as a kid, my uncle used to do computer work, and it always fascinated me. And he'd come over and tear open my 486, you know, or my 386 DX2 or whatever it was that I had. And, you know, we'd make DOS menus, and I just became obsessed with technology at an early age, which led ultimately to me being addicted to gaming. Because, you know, not long, you know, after learning what a computer can do, you discover games. And oh my
Seriously,
God, man.
Right?
Yeah, it's just...
My dad brought home StarCraft.
Yes.
I mean, I was playing games before that, but, like, on a computer, I was, you know, I grew up on an NES, like I said, so, you know, computer gaming for me started with StarCraft, I think, and he just brought it home. He was like, yeah, everybody at work said this is, like, game of the year. It's supposed to be awesome. And it was awesome. You know, so, but from there, I learned all about all of the, like, the use map settings things that they had, which were, like, custom maps that, like, executed the game differently. Like, it was no longer, like, a war RTS. It was, like, an RPG that you can explore the map and, like, pick up items and stuff. And that's where, like, games like Dota were birthed from, and League of Legends and stuff like that.
Sure.
But anyway, that, like, really started to open my eyes to PC gaming and all of the possibilities of it. Mm-hmm. And trying VR for the first time blew my brains all over the wall, and I haven't been the same since.
It's a magical experience, wasn't it?
It truly
is. First time in VR, and not cardboard VR, you know, not 3DOF. Your first time in 6DOF VR.
What was your first VR experience?
My first VR experience was, what was it called? It was the old one in the 90s, where you you know, had that giant CRT mask on, you know, that was held up by like an arm, like a crane arm almost.
Pterodactyl.
And pterodactyl nightmare. Pterodactyl nightmare, yeah. And my very first VR experience was actually multiplayer. And I went in with my sister, who was 5 years younger than me, and I got to walk around and shoot at my sister. And it blew my mind. Like, blew my mind. I really felt like, at that magical 20 frames a second or whatever it was, that I was transported to these platforms in space.
Do you remember any of the nausea or discomfort?
I do not remember getting discomfort.
Wow.
Any discomfort. And, but I think it's because I was so blown away.
Right.
I mean, I was blown away, you know, and I was a little kid. That was a while ago. And, but like, it's funny too, you know, people always say VR is a solo thing, but, you know, for my first experience was a multiplayer thing in the 90s.
Right.
And then after that, when everything started blowing back up with VR, after Palmer graced us with the Oculus, and I got a PSVR when it first launched. On day one.
Nice.
Yeah.
You paid like, what, $500 or something?
I think it was about $500. But plus games, right? I mean, I walked home with, like, you know, Arkham Batman VR, whatever it's called, VR, and a whole bunch of games, VR Worlds, and with VR Worlds, the London Heist. When I played the London Heist and that dude is in your face.
London Heist is awesome.
That was it for me.
Yeah.
That was my second, that was my current gen magical moments.
Nice.
Yeah, that just, I was like, this is it, man.
Nice.
This is it.
I'm not even sure if I've told you this before. I think I've maybe mentioned it, but my interest in VR started from actually Nintendo modding. My Nintendo Wii modding. I don't know if
you've
heard anything, but like, I got super into modding my Nintendo Wii. I don't know if you've ever modded the Wii before or the Wii U, but you can soft mod those things easy, and you can and do all kinds of stuff.
I have modified all the consoles, but they all have fully legal software on them.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I got like into like modding Smash Bros. That's where actually I started modding, and then I saw people making videos about it and like talking about the capabilities of what the Wii can do, and they were doing stuff with the sensor bar where by moving the controller like level with your head and having the sensor bar read it. It was like creating a head tracking thing happening on the flat screen. So like targets were like moving in perspective, and it was almost like your TV became a portal into a 3D space.
Cool.
You know, kind
Very
of like
cool.
the 3DS or something like that. So by moving your head, it shifted it a lot. So I was like starting to understand how VR was going to be a huge deal when I saw that head tracking stuff, and I was like, oh man, when I can just move my head independently from everything else, that's going to be a huge game changer.
Yeah.
And then I saw a PSVR demo at Best Buy, sat in the chair and did, you know, all the demos with the exception of like London Heist, but I did like the water one.
All the PlayStation Worlds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did most of those, and there was nobody else there. I was like, holy shit, can I like go again, please? Like, yeah, no one's here. Go for it. So I like ran through a bunch of them and just like kept peeking out to see if anybody was waiting and sat there. And then I went home and I was like ranting about it. I was like, holy crap, this was a big deal. So I was telling a friend how huge I thought that was, and he and I went to a VR arcade and paid to play side by side, because then I was like, I need the multiplayer. I need to have that multiplayer experience.
Yeah.
So I was like, listen, I don't care what it is, but it needs to be multiplayer. Put us in it. Like, let me and him play together. And they're like, man, the only thing we have is this, like, kind of cheap looking thing, you know, and like we have some like awesome dope like flight simulator stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not interested. I don't care how it looks, just put me in a multiplayer experience. And it was Rec Room, and we both went into Rec Room together, and it was super hard to meet up with him, you know, like I think we managed to get into the same paintball game one time, but after one of those paintball games I spawned back in the Rec Room room, like the Rec Room, and the present popped up. It was the first time I'd seen that, and it was like, okay, wow, this is awesome, like, huge block in front of me, and this little girl came up and approached me and was, like, watching me open the box, and I think my mic was off. I was, like, trying to talk to her, but she wasn't responding to me, and so I'm like, getting ready to open this box, and she's like looking in the box. It pops open. She like reacts to it. It's like a shirt. I grab it and slap it on. I can't believe it goes on. I'm like, whoa. And then she goes for the high five, and I'm like,
oh wow.
And I hit the high five, and there's the haptic force in my hand, and holy shit, I just high-fived someone like in VR, and it felt real. And it was that point,
mind blown.
It was over. And since then, I've been like all in, like, mm-hmm. VR is it, it's the future, mm-hmm. it's coming, mm-hmm. and I believe that it is something that is way more profound than just games or just content consumption. Which brings us to another kind of focal point of this podcast, our YouTube channel, if you will. And that is that, you know, the name is derived, Between Realities is derived kind of from this perspective of like, you know, VR is something much more meaningful than, like I said, just games or normal experiences. And we plan on touching on a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. While we're like, what is reality? Are we in virtual reality right now? I mean, it's very, you know, it's a theory that's taken very seriously in the scientific world right now, and just all over the place. And it's just a whole rabbit hole we could definitely dive down.
And we will. You know, we definitely will. We'll try not to go down it immediately, but we plan on getting philosophical about all
definitely,
of this stuff.
Definitely, definitely. But we are gamers, first and foremost, and just love playing with all this hardware and going to all these expos we've been going to as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, mm-hmm. we just recently went to CES last month.
We did. Yeah. If you've never seen mm-hmm. me in any VR videos before, I have a channel. It's called Alex VR, and it is you know, it's kind of like a general VR channel, if you will. I have some product reviews on there, some gameplay stuff, but more recently the focus has been on attending events like CES and OC6 and you know, like conventions and expos and stuff like that, and interviewing industry professionals and game developers and stuff like that. And Skeeve has been coming along, carrying the camera, carrying all the bags, being like the pack mule, and really like helping make this happen.
And shooting the beautiful video that on his most recent
videos. And shooting the interviews, which we have so much content.
We do.
From CES and Dreamland XR and VRX that has not made it to the channel yet. So if you haven't subscribed there,
do so,
because we have a mm-hmm. ton of VR content coming on that channel as well.
Yeah. YouTube.com/AlexVR.
That's right.
I do have a channel at /Skeeva007. It's just me playing VR. It's nothing super special, but you know, it is what it is.
But you got this video about that ayahuasca game that you played getting actually a little bit of traction.
Yeah. That ayahuasca. So I played a game on Viveport, which is now it's actually on Steam now as well, called the ayahuasca experience or something like that. And you start in a jungle in Peru, in front of a shaman, and you drink.
Oh, like the jungle. There's a jungle,
and there's all, you know, you feel like you're in the forest, and there's this shaman, you're all by yourself with just you and this guy, and he's just kneeling there and he's doing his thing, you know, and you drink the ayahuasca and things start to go fuzzy, and then you just, you know, eventually you just lose it. And it's an amazing and it's a beautiful experience, but at the same time I would warn people, there's a lot of bugs involved. There's a lot of snakes and spiders, and it could be a little creepy to someone with those types of phobias, so beware of that. But it is it was an amazing thing.
It's like experiencing yourself to it.
I'll tell you what, I never had a spider phobia of any kind, right? I had multiple tarantulas as pets growing up.
Oh, cool.
I had scorpions as pets growing up, and I let them crawl on me and stuff, and it, you know, it was really cool. But the first time I dealt with a spider that jumped at my face in VR, I nearly crapped my pants. So, I mean, it was a very serious experience. I had to take off the headset.
Farpoint.
I didn't know if I'd be able to get through it, because the spiders, they all jump at your face.
Farpoint's
why at your face? It's terrifying. It's truly terrifying.
Dude, Farpoint is awesome.
And it was a fantastic game.
We need to play some Farpoint.
Yeah, and you do get past the spider stuff, and then they're not a big deal anymore. Which was, you know, I didn't know if I was going to continue on with the game, because it was so immersive. being in that world with those beautiful graphics and holding that gun and really feeling like I was there, and to have those spiders jumping at my face was just as immersive, yeah. And it was terrifying.
Yeah.
So, but it is a fantastic, absolutely fantastic game, and I would suggest that everyone play through it that has PSVR. Even if you have a spider thing, the spiders are only in the first quarter, maybe, of the game.
Right. Yeah. Dude, of stuff, it's so. Worth the it's worth absolutely. To endure. I there's absolutely. I wish that game had like way more boss fights. There's like one yeah. epic boss fight in Farpoint that mm-hmm. is so awesome. It's like one of my favorite VR moments, honestly.
Yeah.
And I was so sad that there weren't more. I was like, oh yeah. man, I can't wait to see the second boss. This is gonna be so good. And I was like, oh, that's it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Farpoint. Just play it. It's good. So, continuing on, that's pretty much it. We also have a bunch of stuff from CES and these other events that we've kind of acquired, just like swag and stuff like that, that we plan mm-hmm. on giving away on the channel, as mm-hmm. well as some game codes that we've acquired so far, and mm-hmm. Some hardware sooner or later yep. as well. So
yeah, we want to make it a point to give something away every single show, maybe multiple things. You know, we'll have a bucket of game codes, and if someone wins a game, they can choose the game that they want from the available games. We'll have, you know, maybe some things that come to us that are reviewed, maybe on AlexVR or whatever, and, you know, yeah. stands or whatever the case may be, that it's great to get these products and to review them and share them with everybody. But, in the long term, if you keep everything, it's going to be a big pile
of stuff we really like. Quest stands and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of people out there that would love to have these things, and we would love to share.
Do we know what we want to give away for this? Have we decided? Have we landed on that?
I don't think we have. Maybe,
we just, give away a game code.
Yeah, sure.
This one, and just like,
a game. Yeah, maybe, a game of your choosing
maybe
from
make
what we
it
have.
Like, make this first one a comment thing, just because mm-hmm. it's like so new, and then we'll start doing Gleam giveaways for episodes after this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll put a list of the games that you could win, maybe in the description, so you can see them. And then, if you subscribe and like this video, then you will be entered, and someone's going to win some. So
cool.
Every time. Sweet. Every time, until we can eventually give away quests.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it'll be fantastic. The real point of all this for me, I think, is to get people in VR, as many people as possible.
Seriously.
Because it's going to change everything. And the more we can push this out there, and the more, if we can provide headsets to people, that's the ultimate thing for me. It's like, to me, that would be like giving people a portal to another dimension. Right. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and I really would love to give away some headsets on this channel.
It's a really good point to drive home. Like, I really think that's important. And I feel like intention is everything, which is another part of like the philosophical perspective on mm-hmm. this. And I feel like it's so important to keep your intention pure when creating content and when creating stuff for people mm-hmm. and when sharing stuff with people. You know, it's like, you don't want to get people involved in VR because it will make you money, or you don't want to like mm-hmm. make content because you heard you can make money doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to contribute because it's the thing that you think is awesome, like, and you think is going to affect the world positively.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, it's 2020. We have an amazing opportunity with just a normal computer to be able to get on stage in front of anyone that wants to listen and talk about the things you're passionate about. And imagine if people could have done that years ago. I mean, it's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. We're very lucky to live in the time that we do, you know, mm-hmm. flying at Mach 15 through outer space in a spaceship right now, orbiting the planet.
I forgot we were in a spaceship.
It's amazing. You know, it is. You know, the technology really has come a long way.
Yes.
And I think that would help segue us into our first little thing that we wanted to talk about, mm-hmm. and that is the most recent update for the Oculus Quest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, have you gotten the update yet?
I don't know, to be honest.
I have not. And I've been looking and checking all the time. But, you know, Oculus puts things out as they put things out, and they roll things out over weeks.
Tell the folks who are unaware what that is, what this update brings.
So this update, one of the things, at least the thing that I'm excited about, is the ability to put down your controllers and have the headset auto-switch to hand tracking. Right. So right now, hand tracking is available in version 12. Looks like.
We have a clip.
Oh, yes, yes, we do. I forgot there's like a whole thing going on over here. It should take a little bit to get used to this.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Episode so as you can see on our beautiful screen right here, that's yes. That's where the stuff is. So anyway, version 12, which is the current version, has the ability to turn on hand tracking in the experimental features, right? But you have to go in, you have to turn it on, right. You have to know it's there, right? And then you have to go to settings each time and click on use hands in order for it to start tracking your hands. But this new update, well, when you put the controllers down and there's no input method detected, it'll default to your hands, which is fantastic.
It seems like that would have been like that's like a no-brainer. Yeah. That must have been on the board, like, on day one, you know? Yeah. They're like, okay, sweet, we'll get it in at this point or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you just gotten in there and you put your headset on and you just haven't grabbed the controllers and you're kind of feeling around for them? And, you know, it'd just be nice if I just want to hop into something real quick or just check something on the web to just use my hands and, you know, kind of, it doesn't work fantastic. It doesn't blow me away.
Well,
the foundation is there.
And honestly, like, I personally don't use my Quest for a lot of that stuff. Like, if I'm using my Quest, I'm, like, in something.
Yeah.
I'm, like, in Big Screen, or I'm in Beat Saber, or in Pistol Whip, or any of the other fantastic titles that I love to participate in. But, like, I'm in there. And, like, what I am really excited for is the integration into the programs that I currently already use, like Big Screen. I think Big Screen is the one that I would benefit the most from. Harry and I have been watching The Mandalorian in Big Screen, and it's awesome. Like, I haven't seen an episode of The Mandalorian not in VR. We've watched the whole thing in the big ol' outer space theater in Big Screen.
Yeah.
It's forward to that so much, honestly.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
It's amazing. It's so cool. And, you know, there's other shows I watch with other friends as well, and you know, people that are out of state, and you feel like, man, I haven't seen this dude in so long, but I just went to the movies with him real quick, and we just, you know, we watched an episode of something that we were both watching, and we get to look at each other during, you know, during what you're watching, and, you know, fist bump and throw things at each other and whatever, and talk and feel like you're actually hanging out. And, you know, the social aspect of VR is so powerful.
Seriously. And I actually introduced my brother to him in Big Screen.
Yeah,
I sent my brother a Go for Christmas a couple of years ago. And one of the things I love about Big Screen is it's cross-platform compatibility multiplayer thing. So, and if you're on the Go, you can join people on VR, tethered headsets or the Quest or whatever. And we were, you know, shared the room code with him, didn't know if he would pop in or not. And during the second episode, ding, there he is. And I'm sitting next to my brother, and I'm sitting next to you, and I have to, like, lean back and, like, introduce the two of you. You, like, reach across and, like, high-five in front of me. And that's, like, an insane interaction to me. Like, it's so amazing that, like, VR has managed to, like, close the gaps so much. You know, like, it really does remove so much distance. Like, no, it's not face-to-face communication. But it's way better than 1,000 miles.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it just, it feels just out of reach. It's like we're almost there.
Right. You know, I really do get the same feeling that, you know, when I come home from seeing a movie with one of my buddies in the theater, I feel like I just did the same thing. It's so, the difference isn't a lot for me. But, kind of subject there, the hand tracking thing is going to be great for simple interactions. And once more gaming developers really start utilizing it, maybe it'll be better. I don't know. I'm more excited just for the fact that it is able to do that on a mobile headset running a Snapdragon 835, and it can take such little processing power for this thing to find your hands and to know what's going on. And that, to me, it's kind of like when I saw VR in Dactyl Nightmare in the 90s. It was like, I see potential. You know what I mean? The next Quest, it's gonna be amazing, right? It's gonna have a sick chip. It's gonna be way better than the processor that's in there now.
And everyone after that, like, it's so crazy. We're like in the stone age of VR, you know? Like, I see the Quest, what I really am seeing is like the old brick cell phone. They're like, psh, what? You know, like, that's what we're using right now.
Yeah.
We're going to look hilarious in the photos of that our children look at when they're our age. You know, they're going to look at them and be like, oh my God, like, that's what you wanted to VR? you know, and that's not very long. Like, to take, you know, another 20 years to make some improvements like that, I really do think that VR is going to accelerate quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the next 20 or so years, it's going to be extremely accessible.
For sure. I think my grandkids will be going to school in VR, probably. I would prefer it with all the shootings happening and stuff, right? Yeah. Like, you can get the social interactions. You'll be able to still see the students, still interact with people, still have to take direction from the teacher. But, you know, on the board, instead of drawing a picture of a shark or something, like, it could come out at you and open up and you could see the insides. And there's just no comparison to the way you could learn
like
that.
So do you think that a learning environment in VR would be social? Do you think they would fill the room and, like, everyone would have a desk just like they did?
I think it should be.
But it wouldn't necessarily be necessary, right? Like, it could be private.
No, I think it is necessary, personally. I think the personal interaction and the social interaction you get in school is more important than some of the garbage that they teach you. Like, it's really you learn how to deal with people, you learn how to deal with groups and people that think certain ways, and you learn how to survive in your own way when you're in school. And you know, that's a very important thing. And you know, looking at online schools on flat stuff, it's not the same. You know, looking at it on a computer screen or
and
something.
And if you think about it, like, the teacher could have, like, admin powers, you know? Like, you couldn't get them, like, they wouldn't be able to get out of their desk, you know?
Right.
You could, like, move their avatar back to their desk.
Kid won't stop talking, you can mute them.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely.
You can, like, and they could engage in group activities that are, like, completely immersive.
Sure.
You know, like, we used to pretend and, like, put five people on that side of the room and five people on that side of the room. But they'll be, like, five people in the spaceships and the five people on the planet, you know? And, like...
Yeah.
They're going to do amazing.
The possibilities
stuff.
Are endless. And that's just with education, right? And the book Ready Player One touched on a lot of that, how there's an entire planet of, you know, of nothing but schools, and that's where all the kids go to school, and, you know, no one has to, there's no bus transportation to school. It's very, it just makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me that that's where it's going. And things like Big Screen and Rec Room and things like that just show you the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 100% there yet, but the next gen, man, it could start happening.
So what about Facebook Horizons? I personally think it's going to make a big splash. I think it's going to have a big impact.
I'm torn. I don't know. I mean, I think Horizons has the possibility to be the biggest thing ever. I'm just worried about the company that's creating it, right? And it's only because, you know, they spent billions on acquiring a VR company. And then did you see the app that they originally put out for the Oculus Rift?
No.
It was garbage. It's like, why did you guys even do this? Mm. It was just bad. And that kind of tainted me for their future projects. But I do understand that it was probably like that because they were really working on Horizons. And it's not a small task. It's a big thing to create an entire universe.
Right, you're not going to build a new thing while you're building a new thing.
Right,
you're already
building
the new thing.
The concept is... It is the future, absolutely. I don't know if Facebook's going to be the one that that executes it the right way. We'll see.
Here's what I think. I think that there will be a lot of, how do you say old people? I think there'll be a lot of old people who are currently using Facebook, who, like, have adapted Facebook to their lives.
Sure.
And who understand what Facebook is. Facebook is the way I connect with my family on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's a new program that comes out called Facebook, I think that will make a very easy entry for a lot of people who have never considered VR. It's going to look like Facebook 2. It's like, oh, here's the next Facebook. Whoa, wow, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you can see them. And they'll, like, almost give the credit to Facebook. Mm-hmm. And they will. And I guess credit goes where it's deserved. But, you know, we've all known the way that VR can connect people for a long time. But I just feel like the name will just, like, force people to get on board.
For sure. And it just depends, right? Because you got to get this generation. And if it falls too far out, you're going to lose that generation, because already the generation below me doesn't want anything to do with Facebook.
Right. So, but maybe Facebook paves the way for social networks that are in VR, which we already have. They're called Rec Room, VR Chat, you know, Second Life, all that stuff, Somnium Space. All that stuff. So, like, there are already that, that's already happening, but people don't attribute it in the same way that they do the name brand stuff.
Right.
So, like, maybe Facebook will not be cool, but TikTok VR comes out, and they all flock because they love TikTok, and now VR is a part of that, and that I easily could see that being a big part of the adoption that we're looking
at. Yeah, it's huge. It's huge for paving the way for these types of things. And for setting some standards, I think they have the budgets and the money available to make this good if they can. It's just, you know, Facebook has their ulterior motives with everything. I mean, you know, every millimeter that you move your neck is going to be recorded. Everything you look at, everything you do is going to be there. So for me, you know, I'll be in it. I can't not, you know what I mean? But the second someone else makes something that isn't like that, I'm gone. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'll already tell you that.
Right.
But, you know.
I mean, unless your aunt refuses to switch because she only uses Facebook.
Right.
And that's the only way you can connect with her.
Right.
Across distance. And then you will go back to it.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's a fantastic thing that's happening. And that's such a big company. Is putting so much money into this.
Yeah.
It's huge because it's...
I know people have, like, their feelings about Facebook, you know, but I personally think that you must understand the impact that VR is going to have to take so much and throw so much at it when everyone is, like, screaming VR's dead from the fucking rooftops, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that whoever's calling the shots, be it Mark Zuckerberg or whoever at Facebook who knows that VR is it, I feel like they get it. So I am, like, comfortable with the resources being spent helping put it in front of people because I am really excited, just like you are, for more people to be in so we can we really enjoy the technology together rather than, like, feeling like we're alienating ourselves when we go into it, or, you know, trying to explain it to people can just be so exhausting. Like, can't we all just be on it already, you know, and, like, enjoy it together? Because I know it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, it is a matter of time. You know, like Anthony at VR365 says, it's a train that's left the station, and it's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. It'll plow through anything in its way. I mean, you know, the next, obviously, the only thing that might stop it is AR, but AR will be incorporating VR stuff. So it's just a continuation. Mm-hmm. You know, this whole thing is absolutely, without a doubt, I bet my life on it.
Yeah.
You know, speaking it is of, what it is the future.
Speaking of Anthony at VR365, we will actually be having guests on this show on every consecutive episode following this one. And Anthony from VR365 is actually going to be our first guest.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, pending that, you know, nothing falls through or anything. Right. Yeah, we're really excited to have him. He is, to me, he's one of the pioneers of all of this stuff, of just getting out there with enthusiasm and speaking, you know, the gospel of VR to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, the dude just killed it doing shows every single day for
That's
so long.
That's so admirable.
It is.
It's a lot of work.
And it's, you know, but it shows the passion, right? I mean, what else can make someone do that for free?
Right.
You know what I mean? He's not getting paid by any companies to do this. He's out there, you know, with something he believes in and you know, mad respect for that. So, yeah, hopefully he gets to come on next week and it'll be a great conversation. I think he has a lot to bring to the table.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah. And, you know, for anyone out there that, you know, might have any ties to AdSense, you know, or whatever, go on to Twitter and you know, ping these guys and try to get his channel up and running, because he's running some technical difficulties.
Yeah, if you don't know what that is, you'll find out on the next episode.
Yes.
We'll take a dive.
All right,
so moving on. I think we pretty much touched on everything that we're planning on doing.
Yeah, I think for the most part. I think so. Lots of giveaways, lots of guests, lots of interviews. You know, we'll be talking to people, you know, from other VR content creators to developers to, you know, people.
We've got some cool people penciled in. Like, we've talked to some friends that we've made at some of these expos, and there are some really awesome people that we've met along the way that have said that they're down. So it's just a matter of, like, being like, okay, podcast is here, like, are you actually down? And I think we're gonna have some really cool people show
up,
so I'm really excited.
Absolutely. Yep.
the cool thing about the VR community right now is that because it is still a niche, it's so intimate. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's so easy to connect with each other. And everyone's so supportive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, it's just awesome.
Yeah,
it's just
for sure,
nothing
man.
But good vibes.
A lot of good people out there making a lot of good content. And we really want to push the fact that we want to get more people into their channels as well. Because, you know, to us, it's not about gaining big numbers. It's about getting the word out there for VR, and all of the content out there is so good right now.
See, there's people because it's all fueled with proper intention.
Yeah.
Right? Because it comes
and
from a place of passion.
Yeah.
Because these are people who understand how fucking awesome VR is, mm-hmm. and they're not willing to not contribute to its success,
right.
which is mm-hmm. why we are here
right
now.
Right.
That's why Absolutely. All of this has happened, is because
yeah.
we want to be a part of helping it grow and helping
yeah.
people understand how cool it actually
yeah.
is.
Yeah, Alex and I fly around the country on our own dollars and stay at hotels on our own dollars and getting into these events and talking to these people, because it's legit, man. And you know, if I never see a dime from any of this stuff, I don't care. It's amazing stuff, and the people we're talking to, it's amazing. So please go check out Alex VR's channel.
Yeah, check out my channel, check
yes.
out Anthony's and everyone else's stuff. This is going to be good, trust me.
All right,
so speaking of traveling.
Yes.
CES 2020 is the most recent event that has happened. Mm-hmm. We were there, and we were representing the virtual reality community,
mm-hmm.
running around and trying out everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think mm-hmm. we did pretty much every VR experience that was there. Like, I can't think of a VR thing that we did.
Yeah, so it was the biggest convention I've ever been to, but we really stuck in the VR aerospace pretty much the whole time, because it's the only thing that really matters to us. But it was, yeah, we did everything, man.
We did every VR thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was super, super fun. And I've been making videos on my channel with the interviews
mm-hmm.
that I've gotten with people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all very, like, structured. And, like, here's the interview with, here's the footage of what I was doing. But there's really been no, like, anecdotal experience type stuff. So I
mm-hmm.
thought it would be a good idea that we go through our top 10
yeah.
CES VR
yeah.
experiences.
There's a lot of good stuff there. You know, it might not have been like some of the past CESs where we've gotten some of these really big headsets, but oh my God, there was a lot of good stuff.
All right,
really
we'll also keep in mind that we'll talk about these 10 things, but
mm-hmm.
it's in no particular order, you know, like...
Right, right. Exactly.
I mean, we could probably order them, but this is in
yeah.
no particular order.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first one that, you know... So, well, actually, first we should say that we were supply tickets by Dreamland XR.
That's
which,
a good start.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a smaller convention that happens in conjunction with CES, that is called Dreamland XR, and it is focused primarily on VR, you know, XR technologies. And it is very small. It's very intimate.
We have footage of that, right?
We do have some DreamWorks footage. It's kind of sprinkled in here,
okay.
right? Like when we talk about
okay.
some of the things that'll be in there. But,
okay.
But yeah, it was small. It was intimate, but you really got to dive into some stuff with some people, and there was a lot of panels and very, very businessy.
Yeah,
you know?
It did have like a kind of like a business feel, but it
mm-hmm.
was like, it was like a business made out of friends and family, you know,
yeah.
like really had like this like really like
yeah.
tight vibe about it.
Yeah.
And it was basically one big showroom. Well,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say big, one small showroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say was like, I don't know, maybe like 500 by 500 or something like that. I'm really
something
big.
Like that. It was yeah.
It wasn't huge.
Pretty small. Yeah.
It wasn't huge, but they had some cool stuff there,
mm-hmm.
which I guess we'll just go through our list and we'll probably touch on
yeah.
what we saw there.
Yeah.
But it was really intimate.
For sure.
And the panels were super intimate, and everybody was really nice. Chris from Dreamland XR, thank you so much for bringing us out to Vegas. We had a blast.
Yeah,
he,
it was great.
He invited us to these awesome nightclub VIP parties and stuff,
yes.
which I was
yeah.
so tired.
We did fly ourselves
to.
And pay for our own room and board and stuff. But yeah, he did give us the tickets to CES
mm-hmm.
and Dreamland, and he was such a cool dude. He was such
yeah,
a cool dude.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah.
He was
good
so,
stuff.
So inviting
mm-hmm.
and really made us feel like we were a part of the club.
Yeah,
and
yeah
really,
for
I
sure.
I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. But the first thing we'll touch on was actually at CES itself, which was the Tesla suit And I mean, that was one of the most exciting things for me.
Yeah.
I mean, and you got to put it on.
I did.
You got to strip down. I did.
This is one of the videos that I've actually managed to get out from CES so far. And yeah, I actually was not expecting to get as near nude as I was to get into that thing. You know, like the B-Haptics vest you just throw on over your clothes.
Right.
But Tesla suit, they're like, okay, go into the changing room, like, take your shit off, like, let's go.
Yeah.
And it is literally a wetsuit.
It is. And they do hot steam it to kill any germs from any previous demos, right?
Which gives you this saying, this nice moist film as you're putting it on. And it makes it cold as fuck. I was freezing so badly when I was putting that thing on. Seriously, it was like, it was extremely cold. It felt like I had dunked it in the lake, and I was like going like slalom skiing, and I was putting it on, and it was super, super cold. But once it got on and I like warmed up a little bit, it was fine.
I should say real quick too that the footage you just saw was of the Tesla suit glove that was spinning around, and that was not demoable. It was there. And it was just spinning, kind of like an HTC,
which was definitely a WTF moment, because they were promoting the living shit out of it.
Yeah.
Like, they put that image on the internet, hashtag CES, like, so hard. Yeah. Being like, come see the Tesla suit glove, it's so dope. And we were like, all right, we're here to see it. And they're like, yeah, there it is.
It's in a box.
Yeah. Look at it. You know, like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, it was kind of a bummer. But the suit, though. The suit is still ridiculous.
Yes, the suit was, you know, if I had, this would be in my top two experiences at CES, just because of how unique it was. And honestly, how precise some of the haptic response was. Like, this is not rumble. Like, this was not, like, shaking. It is like, if you've ever played with one of those toys that like you hold on to, and it's like metal and it like goes around and, like electrocutes like one random person, like a hot potato.
Or if you put those like electrodes on your abs or whatever, right? And it makes them squeeze. Or on your back.
I don't have a pair of those.
Or you know, well, obviously I don't either. But I have used some of those things in like chiropractors' offices and stuff. Chiropractors, where because it like it flexes the muscles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah, it is. It really just felt more like stinging pain, or what I would imagine like a jellyfish thing to feel like. I don't know if that's what it feels like, but if they made a VR experience where you're swimming in jellyfish and they're shocking the fuck out of you, it would probably be perfect. Like, it would probably be like the perfect simulation for what that feels like.
That's funny.
But you know, during my interview, he kind of talks about Sergey, the CEO, kind of talks about how like that's how it feels when you're just like standing there and they're just like, how does that feel? You're like, oh, well, that feels like electricity and it hurt. But when you're like in and you've got the headset, the audio and the visuals completely immersed, when that scratch happens, you're not thinking about electricity. You're in the world. You feel the pain of the scratch. Now, it's not like it's ripping your flesh. It's not like it actually hurts, but it is discomfort. Like, which, you know, some people would argue is, like, not good. Or, like, they don't want that. But I'm, like, all in for immersion.
Yeah. Oh, and me too, right? But, you know, obviously the first thing I think of is, like, can you hack someone that's in that and put them through a lot of pain, right? Because, like, you know, I'm in the cybersecurity world as well. So it's, like, but, yeah, I would imagine that, you know. But it's not on the market yet.
Right? Yeah.
They got a lot of work to do. But it's a very promising product, right? You can feel heat and cold.
Which I didn't really experience much of. I mean, it was cold as fuck when I put it on.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel, like, the heat or cold in the game. You know, it was more just, like, discomfort. And they simulated motion and movement, and it almost felt like, I don't know, like, it's, like, trying to render an image that it can't, you know? Or it's, like if a message was coming in from an alien world and, like, we didn't have the technology to like, decipher it, but, like, we kind of could.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it was like. It's, like, an alien deciphering of wind across my body, you know?
Because they were blowing the wind across
the ones and zeros. Yeah. You know? It doesn't feel like wind, but it's, like, there's that, natural. There's that. And, like, they simulated it, you know? So it did feel like wind.
So, and they had you climbing up a ladder, too, right?
Yeah, the game I did wasn't so good. And, it was just climbing up a ladder. It basically just shocked my left side when I grabbed on with this one, and then shocked my right side when I grabbed that one.
So, it was supposed to be, like, simulating, like, the tingling, like, when you step on something, it kind of reverberates up your leg.
Yeah, but that's a really bad application of it. Really, yeah. I think the reason why they had that is because at a trade show, you need to, like, show how your company could put something like this to use. Yeah. So they need to have like an oil rig demo so that way the guys with all that oil rig money who are trying to buy training technology see this as something viable.
Right.
You know, if they were just playing Tiger Claw VR, they would be like, I don't need this for my oil company. Right. And they would have no reason to invest. Right. So they're not able to like show off like the dopest, most fun experience technically at a lot of these things. They need to show something that shows its use in their company or whatever.
Sure,
so I think that's kind of why they had that one going. But they actually had a few experiences going. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
That was not the only one. Oh. Somebody else hit me up on Twitter and was like, I think Jeff Rayner is his name. He hit me up and he's like, hey, you should come do our experience at the Tesla suit booth. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah. Oh, bummer. Well.
But anyway, it was cool. And I think the biggest thing was the bullet shot. Like, so that's what a lot of people imagine when they think about a haptic suit. Sure. Like, so I can feel getting shot. Actually, yeah. Like, it was like, okay, and we're going to hit you on the left shoulder. Boom. And it was like, it just like causes that contraction and it like feels very pinpointed. Like, it really did feel like it got hit in a, like almost like somebody threw a rock at me or something and it hit and the rock impacted.
And, you know, what I was impressed by as well is, so I'm a big guy. I'm 6'7", 300 pounds. And, you know, I said to them, when can someone like me get into this? I'm like, you can put it on right now. And so, like, they have really taken into account the different sizes of people.
And a lot of the stuff that we demo, Skiva actually can't do. Like, it's borderline.
You know? Right. Yeah.
Even like, what was the...
We'll talk about the Yaw one
later. Oh, yeah, right? But what was the... Magic Leap 2, was it?
There was...
HoloLens 2.
It was HoloLens, but it wasn't HoloLens 2. It was the Fire one. It was a company called Fire something.
Firefly Dimension.
Yeah, they have a headset, an AR headset that has 100...
Dude, it's 180 degree field of view. It's so
180 or 110 or something like that. The biggest field of view in an AR headset, right?
It's so cool.
But... it just didn't fit me at all. It was definitely designed for people with smaller noses.
Yeah.
And, this thing is pretty big. So I couldn't see anything out of it. But I could use the HoloLens 2, Magic Leap, all that perfectly fine, though.
Yeah. So Tesla suit was dope.
Yes. Yes, nice. Tesla suit was super cool. It's the closest thing to Ready Player One tech that we really have. But that's not going to be available for years and years, and it's going to be really expensive, mm-hmm. right? But right now, we have B-Haptics, mm-hmm. which just released the vests and stuff to the public, I believe, mm-hmm. right? So, and we got to play with all of that stuff at CES as well. And we actually have got to do quite a bit with the vest and stuff because they did, Alex actually won one from Nathy.
I did.
Yeah.
When Nathy got 500,000 subs on YouTube, he did a giveaway, and it was like a Gleam giveaway, mm-hmm. and he gave away 3 B-Haptics vests, and this was like, how long ago was this? Like,
that was a while ago.
5 months ago or 4 something months like ago? It was some months ago. And I won one of them. I couldn't believe it. My mind was blown. And he posted it over from Europe, and I'm sure that costed a nice little pretty penny to do, mm-hmm. too. So thanks, Nathy, for that. That's so awesome. Yeah. And VR Realm, Paul from VR Realm, also won one of those.
Oh, cool.
And he was quick on making a video with it.
Nice.
We shot a bunch of footage with it, but
we don't have a video out yet, but we have a lot of B-Haptics footage. Some that you're seeing here with Alex at the B-Haptics booth. And the footage at the booth is better because you get to use the hand part, right? Mm-hmm. Like the almost like the gloves, boxing gloves, mm-hmm. and the facial interface, which can, you know, impact on your face.
The whole kit is is the only way, man. Yeah. Like, the vest, like, it's fun to play around with, and, like, I enjoy using it, you know, especially when, like, the game works well with it.
Right.
Like, Thrill of the Fight really does work well with the vest. And it's Oculus Quest compatible, which is so awesome.
Yeah, that's huge to be just wireless.
So awesome.
Yeah.
But playing Thrill of the Fight with the full kit is where it is at.
Yeah.
Like, you really do need the whole thing. You need the face piece, you need the hands, and you need the vest. Like, it felt so immersive having all of them connecting and functioning together as opposed to, like, just the vest. It's immersion breaking when you get hit in the face and there's nothing, but then when you get hit up here, there's down here, there is something.
Right.
You know, like, connecting the whole thing and holding up your hands to block and having your hands get hit.
Yeah.
And feeling that feedback was huge, too.
Yeah.
It's not just, like, this thing in your controller shaking. It's on the outside of your hand. So it feels like impact is coming from the outside, and it was awesome. Like, blew all of my other B-Haptics experiences out of the water by having the full.
Yeah, and, you know, because with just the vest, we were playing Sorrento, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, meh, right? Meh.
Yeah.
Just, you know, but yeah, the whole thing with being in a boxing match and just how well that all seemed to orchestrate together.
It was perfect. So, it was perfect. I had a lot of fun with it.
Very cool.
And it's worth mentioning, it's very worth mentioning, that is pretty much the only game you can play. Like,
that is true.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so Sorrento, and then there's a few games like Snowball Palace or something, like things that you don't ever even really want to get the
It's coming. Yet. And as they sell these vests, more will happen. You know, it'll happen faster as people start to pick them up. But, like, don't buy a B-Haptics vest, which are $500 on Amazon right now. Don't buy a B-Haptics vest thinking that you can, like, play Beat Saber with
Unless you're really into Thrill of the Fight, then go for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, for sure. And especially if you have the expendable income and you love VR, do it. I cannot wait to get my hands on the facial interface and the hands so I can play Thrill of the Fight with the full kit.
But yeah, you're definitely not going to buy that stuff and go into every game and play. No. You're just, there's only a couple things you can do.
Only the one.
But it's cool stuff, and it's a good start. You know, to me, it feels like there's cell phones all over it, and they're vibrating.
Right.
You know, and so it does have that motor, that spinning motor type of feel, that vibration. It's not like the Tesla suit, for example, which is, you know, uses electricity and stuff to stimulate you. So, but
you know, I felt that way about it also until I did it at CES. Like, it really is optimized well for Thrill of the Fight. Like, at Sorrento, like, if you're getting sprayed with bullets, like, the whole thing is shaking. You know, if, like, a big slash comes down, it's like the whole thing vibrates. But when it's like a punch, it's like only that one sensor
goes.
It feels way more, like, delineated and connected. So I really do think the way to experience it is Thrill of the Fight with all three pieces, and I think it's worth it if you've got the money.
Yeah.
If you got the money, get it, because it's awesome. But it's pretty much just boxing. But you can get an amazing workout.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're working on stuff, so.
B-Haptics are awesome.
Yep,
they are great people.
Good, like, people, for
So cool. Yep. Really enjoyed my time spending with them.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be putting those interviews out as well.
Yeah. So we got to start cruising through these.
Oh, yes. That's true.
I'm limited on my time here.
Yes. Yes. So the next thing we'll mention real quick is Arenaverse.
So this was one of the Dreamland things. And this was awesome. Yeah. I mean, I could talk so much about all of the Dreamland stuff. But Arenaverse is a room scale, wireless, multiplayer laser tag experience.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, companies could buy to have, like, at their arcade or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like the, like, those videos that they were showing off of Space Pirate Arena. Like, like people running around in a room, like, that's what's happening there. You can't really run there, you know, the tracking isn't, like, there where you can just be, like, sprinting everywhere. But, like, you can, like, brisk walk around and, you know, you're going around obstructions in VR and hiding behind stuff and everybody's sharing the same space. And this is kind of getting a little bit closer to, like, what we were talking about earlier, where, like, people in the same space can share VR together.
Yeah.
And that is huge.
It is.
So we really, really enjoyed the Arenaverse experience.
Yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite experiences.
Your gun didn't work in one of the matches.
Yeah. Though. Yeah, I ran around trying to shoot people, and there was no bullets coming out.
That's so sad.
It was still, yeah. But, I mean, you know, I did get to play with a working gun, and it was fantastic. Nice. But, and there was multiple, there was also multiple maps. There was a snow one, like
yeah,
a futuristic laser tag
the
one.
Yeah, the environments, like, changed completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely good stuff. And speaking of multiplayer, right, we got, oops, keep using the wrong keyboard there. We, Rico's Fragments.
What is the name of their company? I don't remember the name of the developers. But Rico's Fragments was at Dreamland also.
Yes.
This is a multiplayer experience built for the communication between smartphones and someone in VR.
Mm-hmm.
Like Akron Attack of the Squirrels has accomplished,
yeah.
which I
yeah.
love. Not everyone loves that game. I don't think Skiva loves that game. I love that game. I think it is so good. I've broken that thing out at a party with like non-VR people, and we were having a blast passing
That's
the
cool.
headset around.
That's cool.
It's great. I recommend Akron highly. But I also recommend the topic of this, which is Rico's Fragments. And these guys are also super nice, just like I said, everybody in the VR community is just so, so awesome. And I actually really enjoyed this more than I thought I would. I owned Resident Evil for like 8 months to a year before firing it up because I could not grow a pair of balls to get it. I don't want to like willingly enter a scary experience. But this is an experience where you're walking around in a haunted house or a haunted garden, and people on their smartphones have abilities to trigger traps within the
house.
They
are like the paranormal entity.
Right.
Right. They're slamming doors, they're making things fly across the room. Their objective is to scare you.
And here's the primary objective of the game. As a player, you have to avoid contact with this super scary, like geisha-looking ghost who's cruising around in the house. And the mechanic, the primary mechanic, is that she cannot see you, but she can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, like, creep past her, but if somebody has an ability that they've been saving, all the abilities on your phone are on a cooldown, so you, like, have to wait for the right time. You can't just, like, spam slamming doors mm-hmm. in someone's face. But if you can slam a door right next to the person as the ghost is nearby, like, the ghost turns and runs at you, and it's like, no! It's super, super scary.
Yeah.
And you're the one that did it. Like, you...
Yeah.
So it
or
really
if you walk by
in.
Something and you bump something off a countertop and she hears it and she comes flying.
You can
in
trigger her traps yourself.
Yeah.
Like you can just hit stuff and,
mm-hmm.
and make her come around too. So you
it was super
to be
fun.
Careful.
That was a fun experience because
mm-hmm.
everyone was more than thrilled to scare the person in the VR headset.
It was really, really, really good.
Yeah,
Rico's Fragments is awesome. And we actually have plans on doing like a gameplay stream or something
mm-hmm.
on
And that is in the pile of games that you could win.
Yeah, we have codes for Rico's Fragments too. So maybe that will be, maybe we can give away a Rico's Fragment code for this,
Video
or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's keep cruising.
Cool. So we also got to play with all the Pico products. So the Pico Neo 2
mm-hmm.
and the Pico glasses,
mm-hmm.
whatever those are called.
Mm-hmm.
Those were really cool, the 3-DOF ones.
That was my favorite thing that Pico had. So
the smaller glasses.
The interesting thing about the Pico stuff is that but there was like an open source design of a standalone 6-DOF headset or something. What was that?
Yeah, I don't remember.
You remember they're like the ones that designed it, and it was like somebody released the information, and then they picked it up and executed it.
Yeah, I'm not remembering. But yeah.
Dang. Yeah, I remember. It's like something about you know, like somebody like made the blueprints for this thing basically, and was like somebody you know. Fund it, like make it, you know, it's out there. And then I thought that was what Pico was doing. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't
I could
know.
Be wrong, but I feel like there's a story connected with that thing
somewhere. We'll find out.
But yeah, they have a standalone 6-DOF headset with mm-hmm. eye tracking, the Pico Neo
mm-hmm.
2i. And it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Like in that clip right there, I was standing in a dark room and my eyes were the flashlight. And I was, like, not moving my head at all. Like, only moving my eyes, and they were, like the lights
mm-hmm.
cruising around. I was shooting zombies just, like, moving my eyeballs left and right, and it did a pretty good job of tracking it. But the implication isn't to aim with your eyeballs. The implication is to make avatars and stuff seem much more lifelike and have more like natural reactions to things like squinting, smiling, and stuff. It can pick up a lot of those nuances, and I think it's on its way.
Oh, for sure. Tobii eye tracking is incredible. It's really good stuff, and that's what I believe that's what's built into this. But I'm not sure. I could be wrong. I don't know if it's
The other thing that that headset had was
it actually was Tobii eye tracking.
Okay, cool. It also had the foveated rendering.
Oh, yes.
Which improved frame rate quite a bit.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's right. You would look at something, and then it would be running at, you know, what, 60 frames a second or 40 frames a second. You turn on foveated rendering with the eye-tracking foveated rendering, not the static stuff. So, and then you couldn't tell the difference because wherever you looked, it was fully rendered at its highest resolution.
Yeah, and it softens.
Yeah, but all around is just like you see in real life. Mm-hmm. So the frame rate went up by almost 30 frames.
Yep.
And then, but you couldn't tell any difference.
Yep.
You know, because you can't focus on your peripheral vision.
Right. And I will say, at the Pico booth, the thing that did impress me the most wasn't this headset with eye tracking. It was the 3DoF VR glasses that they had, which they're powered by your cell phone. You plug the 3D, the VR glasses, not 3D glasses, they're freaking, it's a VR headset that looks like a pair of sunglasses. Yeah. You plug it into your phone, and it powers 3DoF VR, and it looked good.
It did. The displays were killer.
Really
good. Yeah.
And it doesn't look like you're wearing a brick on your face. Like, it looks like you're wearing, like, some Kanye shades or something.
They did look really good.
It was awesome.
Yeah. They did look good. And they were really light. And I could see, you know, I use my Quest a lot on airplanes. And, you know, it's front heavy and stuff. And
it would be so good on an airplane.
Oh, it would be great. Yeah. It would be fantastic. Yeah, that was good stuff, though. I wasn't super impressed by the Pico Neo 2. I thought the tracking was subpar, you know. It's in the works. But, you know, this headset isn't going to be a commercial headset. It's going to be enterprise only.
And I don't think that was a production unit that we had. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was like they're showing off new shit, you know. Like, it's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Just like the hand tracking. Like, people shat on all the hand tracking at OC6, but it's but they just announced
it. Yeah,
like,
totally.
They're just showing it to you. You know, it's, like, kind of working, and they want to show you that they're making shit happen, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, the other headset that I really, really liked was the Hawaii headset.
So, this is, like, the answer to the Pico Neo glasses if you need 6DoF, because it's compatible with NOLO tracking. Yeah. And that's what really blew my mind about the Hawaii stuff, is that with the NOLO tracking, I got to play Beat Saber on Expert Plus with a 6DoF VR glasses headset.
Yeah, so the headset itself is 3DoF, and they worked in conjunction with NOLO to put a port in a special place so they could design, you know, their NOLO headset specifically for these glasses, their NOLO tracking system. And it just looks, looks perfect.
And the visuals are good. And it worked. Like, no, it's not as good as the Quest. Of course not. But it freaking worked. And it looked awesome, man. Yeah. Like, this is definitely how VR
look at those glasses. Like,
dude. That's how VR is going to look for sure.
Yeah.
Very soon. Yeah. It is thin, small, easy. It went on quick, and it was Steam enabled and connected to Steam. It's a PC VR headset. So it can play anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything in your Steam library that can play full 6DoF tracking.
Yeah, and it didn't weigh anything. I mean, it really felt like a big pair of sunglasses.
And they definitely made the point multiple times how it's not available here in America.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, you don't get that. Like, it's just for the record, it's not here.
Yeah, it's a company thing. Hawaii hasn't brought it here yet. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Hawaii.
And it's Chinese, right? Yeah, it's China.
I believe so.
I think it's Chinese.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
But that was pretty cool. That was
pretty
cool.
Let's knock out these few more and then wrap it up.
We did get to go to Rebuff Realities booth, and we got to check out their stuff for like the case for the headset, mm-hmm. right, to protect your Quest and the power brick that goes in the back, right? That was the big thing. And those headphones, the off-the-ear index-like headphones.
I'm surprised at all of the hype that was generated by these guys.
I know.
Honestly. Like, I didn't realize that these accessories were that in demand.
Yeah.
Like, people, like, saw it, and they were like, that's exactly what we've been looking for. And I was like, oh, dang, I saw it, and I thought it looked cool, but, like,
I personally... The battery is the big thing, right? Because it's a counterweight, and they made it look like it goes with the Quest. They even kind of...
That's
so little bumps where the cameras would kind of be, you know, but it just looked really good. And that, to me, was the most impressive part.
Yeah.
You know, the off-ear headphones were really cool. They were going for a Valve Index thing, and it was really hard to judge the sound. There was a lot of noise, you know, but the headphones... You know, they were pretty cool as well. I wouldn't say they were spectacular, but it was really hard to judge in that environment.
That being said, I still felt like they had some room for improvement on the audio quality, even from what I did hear. You know, like, because they kind of did this demo where they're like, here's it with and here's it without. And the without, I, like, took a step back for a second, you know? I was like, okay, and this is better how, you know? but then I got used to hearing it. It's almost like, you know, switching a setting on your TV or something, you know? So I felt like there was a little bit of room for improvement on the quality of the audio, but the design of them is perfect. It was, like, smooth, goes on there. It looks like it's supposed to be on there. It's not this, like, massive helmet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm optimistic for Rebuff Reality stuff. I think it's going to do well, and I think as long as they continue to improve on what they've done, they're going to have
a
successful experience.
I agree. They were good people as well, and they were really interested in fulfilling the needs of the stuff that we can't get right now for that stuff. So let's move down to the Xtal stuff.
This is the most recent video I put out.
Yes.
Put out, like, a couple days ago. This was awesome. This is, like, what you imagine being able to do when you, like, go to a VR arcade and you realize it's just a computer, you know?
Yeah.
This is, like, this huge, insanely large, like, hydraulic moving platform that's connected to
that was brought there by a company called Six Stop Motion.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Awesome dudes.
That are working directly with Xtal.
Yeah.
To do, like, their flight simulation and stuff for
$8,000.
The headset
just
only is $8,000.
$8,000.
That hydraulic system?
He said it's the price of a car. Like, a nice car. He was like, it's about the price of a nice car. A good car. It's like, oh my God.
It was a ton of fun. It was a ton of fun. And these guys actually invited us to come out to their warehouse and play with the stuff, too.
We're coming.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we can get out there.
Next time we're in Vegas, we got some people to visit.
We do. This was a good time. Now, I gotta say that I didn't go from the Xtal, from the Pimax 8KX to the Xtal and go, wow, the Xtal is $6,000 better.
Me either.
At all.
Me either.
Like, the Pimax 8KX is that close.
Yeah, it is.
That close to that Xtal, I feel. So... Yeah, I mean, you know, that's not to say that Xtal isn't bomb, right? It has built-in hand tracking. You know, it's a good headset.
Dude, the Pimax headset really, really impressed me.
Yeah, like, it was bomb.com.
It was really good. I feel like for the price, its quality is there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it is a good value.
Before we talk Pimax, let's talk real quick on Yaw.
Oh, some more motion simulator stuff.
Yes. So Yaw is
the at-home motion simulator.
Yes. Yes. It's like Six Stop Motion, but the preschool version, right? But it's awesome though. It's kind of this little bucket thing, as you can see on the screen there, that you kind of you sit on and it simulates, you know, car stuff and roller coasters and stuff, and it was really, really cool.
It did a pretty good job of making me feel like I was on a roller coaster. You know, I can play VR games without motion sickness, but if you put me on a roller coaster or, like, start tossing me around hard in a spaceship or something, I'm probably going to start reacting. There was a fan blowing on me during my demo, which was absolutely crucial. Like, and that's the thing, is, like, when you're moving through space, you're moving through air. And you're used to feeling air on your body like that. And if you don't have a fan blowing on you when you're supposed to be simulating motion, like, outside, for me, that was, like, the difference between me ralphing in that thing and like being comfortable and okay with the experience and able to get off of it thinking, okay, this was fun. Because I've done those mall things and that just dominated me. Like, I was down for the count after going to one of those stupid mall kiosks.
That's a bummer that companies are out there poisoning the VR well like that.
Seriously, really, they're not doing anybody any favors.
Yeah, that's too bad. But the yaw thing is really cool.
This is a solution.
Yeah.
MRTV bought one.
No, Sweeviver did.
Sweeviver bought it. Sweeviver bought it.
He tried and bought it. And I don't blame him, right? Because the thing, you can take the little bucket that you sit in, you can take it off, and you can put it upside down on top and then store it somewhere, right? So it's a really, it's a cool thing.
You can flip it.
Yeah, you can put it away and kind of and hide it out of the way where, you know, you couldn't do so with a hydraulic rig.
Yeah.
But, you know, me being a bigger guy, had a little bit of a harder time with me.
Yeah, but, and they were, like, back there, like, trying to assist it.
Right.
It wasn't really built for you.
It wasn't built for me, for sure. It was a ton of fun. And the version that they have for VR Caves, they said would.
Oh, okay.
Would be fine with me.
Probably.
Yeah, this was, like, the home version, I think. But it was super fun. It was super fun. And if I had the money to blow on that thing and in space to put it, I probably would, right? But I don't know how many games are supported by it. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely stupid amounts of fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can mount a steering wheel to it and brake pedals and gas pedals and all that. So that's fun, definitely.
It was good.
Yeah. We did want to throw an honorable mention out there to Cyber Shoes because we have done Cyber Shoes stuff and it's fantastic and we've done it here and mm-hmm. you know we have a set and they did a great job and they won some awards at CES and I like their product.
Yeah, they're cool and you know, awesome dudes, and they really listen to the community. Like we did a review for Cyber Shoes. He backed it and we got it when they started shipping them, and we did a review video on it. And we like had some issues, you know, we're like, it's way too hard to move and this, that, and they were just like, hey, by the way, we saw the video, we made the adjustments, try it out. And I did, and it was way better. Like, I really enjoyed the improvements that they made just from the time that we had it to when we saw them at CES. So I really do think that they are committed to making sure that that is a comfortable and good experience for everyone. And they definitely have our support.
For sure.
Yeah.
And they support us too,
by the way. They gave us an affiliate link. So if you are interested in Cyber Shoes, we'll give you a link down below or something, and you can check them out and scoop them up and support us and support them.
Yeah, for sure. It's a cool product, but I will say that in no way is this a viable alternative to locomotion, right? Because it still doesn't feel completely natural. No. But if you're like me and you're looking for a way to play games and get exercise at the same time, mm-hmm. this is great. You know, I did a video where, you know, I flew in No Man's Sky onto this planet and I got out and I took a hike. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got to walk around for a little while and I went back to my plane and flew away. And you know, you can, it's definitely takes some work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think other than talking about Pimax, which I'll just say we loved, it's that simple. We thought the Pimax AK was awesome.
Yes, and, was absolutely
we had a blast with it. And those guys are awesome too. VR Gamer Dude was hanging out there. Sweeviver was hanging out there. It was
MRTV cool. Sebastian A.
It was cool.
Hanging out there. Yeah, Palmer Lucky.
Yeah, he went there. We didn't see him, but he was there.
Yeah, he was there. I mean, that AKX was one of the coolest experiences ever. I mean, you could tell there was a little bit of distortion on the edges, but wow, man.
Yeah.
You know, we got to play some Hellsplit Arena, and wow. I mean, it was a beautiful headset. It was decently comfortable, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they had that, like, advanced audio solution on it. They didn't have the cheap straps on there, but, I mean, it was great. It was a fantastic headset, and everyone's vibes there are super cool. You know, Kevin Henderson, the COO, was so nice. His interview was great. If you check that out, that's on Alex's channel as well. Just great. The products were great. The people there were great. You know, and so it's very weird to us.
Yeah.
That all this drama blew up after
right, which we're gonna have to get into next time because we're pretty much at our limit for the day. I could talk VR forever.
Like, yeah, for sure. For hours sure.
and just for go sure. through all of this stuff. but this is as far as we're gonna be able to get today.
Cool.
So if you're still able to get through all of this, which I hope you have. I think this has been approachable enough to be consumed by my fellow VR enthusiasts. Thank you for checking out the first episode of Between Realities. I'm Alex VR and this is Skiva. We're super, super excited to be doing this podcast together. We've become great friends through our love of VR, and we invite you to become our friend and join us along on this journey. So this episode was recorded. Next episode with Anthony will also be recorded, and the third one from then on out will be live with audience engagement and interaction. So we really look forward to seeing you guys.
We're gonna give lots of stuff away, so if you want free games,
yeah,
definitely subscribe, because aren't many subscribers, right?
So none. Yeah,
it's gonna be very easy to win stuff.
Yes, especially in the beginning, you'll get stuff for free a lot easier than once you know some numbers start to show up. But we'll tell you how you can win a game code for Rico's Fragments in this video when it's posted, and subscribe to the channel, like it, and we look forward to seeing you in about a week for episode 2.
Cool.
Thank you so much. We'll see you.